Welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Rick Allen, and we're doing this segment because just recently on January 9th, it was National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And so when I read that, there was certainly one person that came to mind that I have not had as a guest here on this program before, and it was time to correct that. I welcome into the program Sheriff Brian McLean from Houghton County. Welcome to Copper Country Today.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
How are things going on right now over there? You guys been busy?
It's always busy. You know, as I always say, the pot may be simmering, but the lid is still on.
Day-to-day operations, how many people are, on the force?
On our force, we have 28 employees at the sheriff's office. Of course, we run two 24-hour lockup facilities, the main jail downtown, and then the minimum security work camp at the airport. Plus, we have 24-hour full-time law enforcement services for the county. So of those 28 people, 19 are certified law enforcement officers, and the others are corrections officers.
Now, the county is your jurisdiction, but how does that work with, when you have city police and the Michigan State Police? I mean, what do you get involved in and what do you stay out of?
Sure. Each individual jurisdiction has their boundaries. As we say, you mentioned the city police. Now, the radius of Houghton is approximately 2 miles by 3 miles. You know, their borders, that's where they cover. Should they need assistance inside their jurisdiction, we do help out. It's the unincorporated areas that we cover along with the state police, those that don't have their own police departments. So we're their full-time law enforcement agencies, whereas as a citizen of Houghton or Hancock, Calumet, Laurium, Lake Linden, the police department is your first go-to department for handling problems in your area.
And he mentioned the 24-hour service. So unlike when if you try to call the state police and you're going to be sent off to a 911 call center, when you call the sheriff's department, you get somebody at the sheriff's department answering the phone usually.
Yes, if you call our administrative lines, our desk sergeant will answer the phone. However, we do contract with Negaunee Regional as our dispatch center. So we encourage people, if they need assistance, to call 911 because the cars that are out on the road are tracked by the dispatch center. And if there happens to be a closer car, they'll send them to that problem rather than have the car from farthest away handle it. So we do encourage people to use the regional dispatch. As I said, the county pays for that service.
Now, as I said, this is my first time being able to have you as a guest here, and I know you're a lot of residents of Houghton County are very familiar with you, and I know you from working in the news and being up at the courthouse, but there's some questions I never asked. How long
sure.
have you been sheriff here?
Well, I'm beginning my 20th year as sheriff. This is the last year of my fifth term. There are 4-year terms, so it's year 20 right now.
Did you serve as a deputy in Houghton County prior to that?
Yes, I was hired at the sheriff's office in 1982. Sheriff Rutzela was the sheriff then, and I served under him for 16 years as a field servicer road patrol deputy. And then ran for office in 96, and I'll be doggone if I didn't win. It was kind of a surprise to me. Took office January 1 of 97 was my first term.
Now, there's been rumors going around town that this would be your last year, that you would be retiring.
Well, I do have 34 years with the department, and I'm eligible to go, but I still enjoy my job, and it's fun coming to work. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the citizens of Houghton County, and I really enjoy it, and I'd like to stick around. My intention is to run for another term.
Well, that's great to hear. How long is a term?
A term is 4 years at the county level.
All right. So. And beyond that, any ideas, or would you say this would be the last term? Or
It's hard to say. I have friends of mine that are sheriffs in other parts of the state in their 70s, although I don't know that I'll go that long. Alzheimer's seems to run in my family, so if I don't wave to you when I'm 70 years old, it's not that I don't like you, I just don't know who you are. So, all depends on, of course, health at this age. You never know about your health and, all those other factors. But for the most part, it's just fun working with everybody.
Now, you've seen things change over these years in Houghton County as the sheriff and a deputy before that. You've seen the situation at the jail, the drug situation in town. I mean, you've been there on the forefront. If you were to try to give an assessment to somebody that was, new to the area or coming here, what would you say is Houghton County like right now?
Well, we're certainly busier than we used to be. There's no doubt about that. I recall nights where it's as if they rolled the streets up at 3 o'clock in the morning and there was nobody around. Well, now we run 24 hours a day with convenience stores, gas stations, businesses running 24 hours. We didn't have that before. But by and large, if you look at the statistics, Houghton County is a very safe place to live. We do have our incidents of violent crime. We do have drugs. We do have a sampling of everything. But when I talk to my compadres at the Sheriff's Association and the chiefs that I know from all over the state, we're pretty fortunate for the area we do live in.
Now, the rest of the Sheriff's Department, I want to talk about some of the people that, you know, individually that, you know, are doing such a great job here. And I wanted, you know, if there was a particular deputies that you wanted to talk about that maybe have accomplished some things recently.
Well, you know, we have four sets of two deputies, so eight deputies are assigned to full-time field services. And if those of you that watch the daily police log in the Mining Gazette, you'll see these guys are busy. They're running all the time. You know, we cover the entire county. Houghton County is roughly 85 miles north to south and 35 miles wide at its widest part, 1,013 square miles, 990 miles of roadway. Our guys are responding to incidents in Duncan Township, Laird Township, Calumet Township, all over the place. These guys run their tails off, and they're very busy, and they're very capable crew. Very proud of the work they do. Inside the jail, you know, our corrections officers run for the full 12 hours they're there. I've always said, if you think it's tough dealing with the public at large, you should see the public who's not at large. It's a very needy population, lots of special needs, lots of behavior problems, and these guys deal with a lot. They do a tremendous job, you know. And we have our staff supervisors, the sergeants, in charge of watching over each and every shift, including the jails and the work camp. Tough job. We got crack investigators. Very proud of our people. You know, we proportionately, we have half probably of the staff of most of my compatriots that work downstate. It's, I don't know if they just must have a larger tax value, but, you know, I can think of a county that has a population of 11,000. He's got 60 employees. 60, 6-0. You know, we're 37,000, 38,000 population. We have 28, and we get the job done. There's some days some weeks I shake my head at the end of a Friday wondering how did we get through this week. But everybody gives her, and they do a great job.
Well, Sheriff, is the department overstretched?
If you look at staffing levels projected by experts, yes, we are understaffed, but money is an issue. Money is tight, and we stretch our tax dollars as far as we can up here. Every agency up in the Upper Peninsula knows that, and so it's a tough job. We get by. We could always use more, but the guys do a good job.
In the 20 years that you've been sheriff, has the department, as far as staff-wise, grown a significant amount?
No, it has not. It's pretty much remained the same for the most part. There was a time in the late 90s where we were able to procure two additional positions under a community policing grant. But after the four-year cycle, there was no money to continue it. So we actually lost. We gained two, but we lost two. So we're right back at a zero-sum proposition. That seemed to happen to a lot of the communities up here. Took advantage of that community policing. The whole impetus of the grant was, nationwide, was to put 100,000 more of police officers on the street. But once we hit that economic slump, everything went downhill from there. And you'll see, even across Michigan, we've lost 2,500 police officers statewide from our regular levels. Even though it's busier now,
well, that has busier to- never. It has to put a, you know, a tight grip on the amount of, I guess, in-depth investigation you can do to, you know, really follow up on, you know, some of the things that people would say, you know, why isn't this one particular problem being taken care of? I said, well, that one particular problem is important, but it's one important of 30 of them that they're working on right now.
Right. We have to learn very quickly to triage, you know, which is the most important burning forest fire at the time and go right to that. So we're putting out fires from time to time. Guys are pretty much running from call to call. The random patrol is getting to be non-existent, and that's a nationwide problem. It's not just here in Houghton County. We're seeing that all over the country. We're more reactive than we are proactive, just because of the nature of the beast, the amount of business that's out there.
When last time we talked, we were discussing the jail here in Houghton County, and you had told me something that I thought was really striking, that when the jail was set up, you had about eight people being housed there. Well, now you're at, or sometimes even slightly above what you would consider capacity, 24 to sometimes 30 inmates up at the jail. That has to be a big change.
It is, and the type of inmates that we're getting today, they're more likely to act out. They have behavior problems. They have drug and alcohol problems, even though years ago there were a lot of alcohol, most of the alcohol problems were the reason a lot of those guys ended up in jail. But and the age of our population has dropped. The bulk of our jail population is age 17 to 22, whereas when I first started, it was very unusual to see anybody even in their 20s housed in the jail. Now we're seeing 17 and 18-year-olds all the time. The behavior problems are that drastic. And if you speak with anybody who works with the probate court, you'll see they're dealing with kids now that are committing felonies. They're not just skipping school and not listening to their parents as they used to years ago. The problems are bigger and higher. And it's a sad statement for society that we're seeing our youth in jails. It does present a challenge. Our jail is rated has a rated design capacity of 28 beds. That's set by the Department of Corrections. And routinely we have 28, 29, 30, 31 in there.
Now I see the economics of that coming into play when I'm at the courthouse, not just for the county, but for the state when it comes to, you know, when you see people being sentenced, whether they're being sent to the Department of Corrections or they're going to be housed in the jail, or if it comes to a, you know, a smaller crime or of a petty crime that would normally, you know, result in jail time, you know, the judge is asked, you know, is there any room at the jail?
Yes. The judges have been very sympathetic towards our plight. Houghton County and the judges and the prosecutor and even the public defender all work together through community corrections. County's been very aggressive with community corrections since 1991 on alternative sentences to jail. If it's a minor offense, first offense, a person could do community service rather than go to the jail. The judge has been very good about sending them out to community service looking to correct behavior and not having them come into jail is an expensive proposition. So it's as we went through a study of a new jail and the criminal justice system, I had a consultant tell me one time, he says, you know, you as a community, the community itself has to make a decision of who you want to put in jail. You want to put people in jail that you're just temporarily mad at, or do you want people put people in jail that you're afraid of? So there's a distinction.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Now, the drug court, or what's, you know, being, I guess, correctly being called treatment court now, is that helping as far as reducing the number of people that are sent there for small drug crimes?
Yes, and they're being very aggressive. The judge has taken the lead on that, Judge Wistie, and done a really good job with it, brought additional staff on. There was some grant money available, and they're really focusing more on the treatment and changing the behavior of these, and isn't that what we all want, is a different result next time.
Hmm. The jail itself, what do you need?
Well, we have an aging facility. Of course, we've gone through this in about four different jail studies. The jail was built in 1963. As I said, at that time, they'd house 6 to 8 inmates a day. The style is old. The infrastructure is old. Our population is growing. I have some old articles from the Gazette in the early 1960s. The controversy over the argument of the jail back and forth. And it's the same argument back then as it is today. You know, people think you're coddling inmates. They don't need the Taj Mahal, you know, but eventually infrastructure does need to be replaced. And it's something that'll be decided on, I'm sure, sometime in the future. I'm not sure when and what will drive it off point. It's starting to look like possibly the overpopulation of the jail, and if we start to house out inmates to other counties as they did in the early 60s, and it ends up costing more money to house them out of county, that may be the time to look at building a new facility. Or they may want to consider doing that. I have a friend of mine who was a sheriff downstate in Wexford County, and at one time they were spending $750,000 a year housing out inmates to other jails. They had a capacity of about 38, and they had an average daily population of 90. And everybody over 38 was in other county jails, and the community thought that was fine. And they continued on with that for 20-some years. However, recently I see there's a movement down there to they got a new board, and citizens now have changed their mind, and they're in the process of planning and building a new jail. So who knows when things will change. But, you know, one community leader told me one time, he said, you know, a jail is part of a healthy community. It's something that can't be ignored. It is a necessary evil, and it does serve a function for society.
Now, the kitchen over the jail is going to be renovated or is in the process. And so if you need a whole new facility, why do one part of it?
Right. We don't meet certain health, the health inspector's report we're lack on. We're short on, of course, now with the additional population in the jail, we're short on preparation space. We're short on storage space. We're short on everything. So the facility, that portion does need to be upgraded. But yeah, if a new jail is on the end, well, I don't know if there is a new jail on the horizon. We just don't know when that'll be. So we'll try to take care of one small problem at a time.
Yeah, well, you have to do what you have to do now. Right. And so you're right. If they're not going to be breaking ground on a new jail, well, then you need to, fix up the one you have and whatever needs to be done.
Yep. As they say, you can always survive in what you have because you have to survive. But, is it the best option or answer? Sometimes no.
When this issue came up a little while ago when we were talking about it, it was mentioned about the facility down south from here, about utilizing that. And I wanted your take about, would the old minimum security prison be a viable option for housing jail inmates in Houghton County?
Well, I will say it is a huge structure. We toured the structure. The last jail committee that we had together went out there to look at it. It's a gargantuan size facility. However, it is built as a minimum security prison, meaning it has individual rooms that don't lock for each inmate. Each inmate housed separately. It was built also as an all-male facility. There are only two cells that actually lock in the front. The middle of the building is a basketball court with a large cafeteria in the back. It has its own wood-fired boiler. It has its own water and septic plant. It's pretty much a white elephant. Also, it's outside of the county seat. And, of course, the court system has to be in the county seat. The sheriff's administrative offices have to be in the county seat. The jail can be built outside of the county seat. However, then you run into transportation problems. As we've mentioned, just even walking inmates back and forth to the courthouse is problematic at times. But having to load them into a transport vehicle, hiring additional officers, and transporting back into town. There are other political entities that have solved that problem by changing the county seat. So if we change the county seat from the city of Houghton to Adams Township, maybe an idea would be to move the whole entire county complex up there, move the courts, move the treasurer, the clerk, the prosecutor, and everything, and house it all under one roof. But it would require extensive renovations to the building. It isn't designed for its purpose. The cost of the renovations might equal or exceed cost of a new facility.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. That doesn't sound cheaper.
No. Cheaper isn't always the... it may seem cheaper, but it isn't, in order to build a facility, too, as we were schooled on, building the facility is expensive, but running it is even more expensive. So, it has to be designed properly for maximum utilization of staff, et cetera, et cetera. It's those hard costs over the years that are really gonna hurt you in the pocketbook.
Now, you did mention about the problems associated with bringing inmates back and forth from the courthouse to the jail, partly in district courts, at least for arraignments, that's been helped. You have a closed circuit.
Right, video arraignment.
Video arraignments, yes. Which helps. Right.
That's been a nice addition.
I saw the same television set in the circuit court room recently, and I looked at that and I said, I don't remember if I saw that up there before. Are there more plans?
Yeah, they were installed at the same time. Okay. And they also in the circuit court, they may use that for remote in expert testimony, et cetera, rather than flying an expert witness here. They can do a link into them. And so, it has a lot of capabilities.
Okay. Well, there's been a couple of high-profile, I guess you can call it, situations where the Sheriff's Department has had to react to whether it is a particular inmate being able to slip away, rather than that transport or on a work crew. What does the department learn from those situations?
Well, when you look at the type of personalities that we're dealing with, it is something that you need to be hopefully on guard each and every day. We did have one fellow run away and hide in the woods on us and is still on the lam. When we compare that, we did take a black eye for that, and But of the thousands of inmates that are absconders nationwide, we'll find that more than 50% of them were either out on day parole or on a work crew and just walked away, or were on work release and just never came back to the facility. So it's a problem all over. Our corrections officers that take the work crews out, as we talked about earlier, all of those inmates are minimum security level inmates. They're all local people from the area, and we've had some take advantage of their situation where they got around a corner and slipped away for a couple of hours, but just trying to do the best we can. But when you think of the thousands of inmates we deal with each and every year, we book and release about 1,000 people in a year, 800 to 1,000. Each and every one has to go to court or has to go to the doctor or the dentist or eventually gets out on work release and or a work crew. The percentages are very, very low. Not to say we don't want it to be zero. We do, but unfortunately, it did happen. And
the inmate that decides to walk away, not doing themselves any favors when they get caught.
No, they're looking at additional time, in some cases maybe up to a year. In an extreme case, should they commit another crime while they're going, they're more than likely going to prison.
Hmm. People may envision the sort of old movie-style chain gangs when the work crews are out with their pickaxes digging a ditch sheriff's deputies standing there with shotguns paying attention to them, and that's pretty much fiction, at least in this time of day.
It is. You know, as I've said, most of our all of our inmates that are out are minimum security status. They aren't the what you saw on TV of the hardcore murderers and rapists that are chained together and digging the ditches and that. We're not a prison facility. 90% of the inmates that we have come through our doors are local residents. That's somebody's son, daughter, nephew, the neighbor boy, whoever. Everybody wants justice. They want everybody hung by their toenails at Franklin Square until it's their son or their daughter or a niece or nephew or a relative or someone who just made a poor decision. And everybody that comes to the jail aren't bad people. Some have just made poor decisions and made a mistake. And they'll pay for it through the courts, and hopefully it won't happen again. Even though with a certain group of them, the recidivism is very, very high. The majority of our persons that we have come in for a single time and they're gone and we never see them again.
Now, I have noticed a change. I don't know if it was for every inmate or if it's for going to be a permanent. But now when in circuit court, for sure, when people are brought over, they've got the bindings on their feet as well.
Right. Yeah. That's one change that we have instituted. And, as I said, for the percentage of those that have run on us, it's very, very small. But the message is being sent to the entire population that additional precautions are taken.
Well, let's look forward a little bit now. What are some things coming up that you as a sheriff, you're looking at, you're eyeballing, that the department's got to be aware of, or things that you would like to see happen?
Well, from the jail side of it, there's a growing concern statewide about this initiative by the state to purge the prisons of anywhere from 1,500 to 25 inmates from the prison system. And the whole reason for that are cost savings. And as I said, it's expensive enough to come to jail. It's even more expensive to go to prison. So I understand and I get that. You know, there seems to be somewhat of a trend more towards treating the problems versus incarceration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you send out that amount of people on a statewide initiative like that, some of those are going to reoffend. And their whole intent is not to return them to prison. Especially if it's a low-level offense, but that's going to, I think, clog up some of our county jails. That's going to be somewhat problematic. There have been discussions over the change in the sentencing guideline scores to those that have offended at a certain level where they could have gone to prison and instead get a county jail sentence. The state has been reimbursing the jails for certain low-level felonies. Well, again, they're looking to change the sentencing guideline scores to ratchet them up a little bit, so those offenders we would have gotten paid for, now we don't get reimbursed for. So, you know, there's a little bit loss of revenue there also. That's a concern. Just the busyness of day to day. We have people come in, build a new home out in the township somewhere, a big, beautiful home, moved up here from the city. They'll call because of a certain problem, and they'll say, I can't believe it took you guys 45 minutes or an hour to get here, you know? And we're saying, you realize where you live, and it's a 35-minute drive, and plus we were 15 minutes out of the way to begin with. And, well, how many cars do you have on the road? Well, we have one car on the road. That's all you have? Well, we'd have 15, 16 cars on the road where I used to come from. Well, you're not there anymore, you know, so any one problem we can handle. We got two problems now. We're starting to have a problem and three problems. But all the agencies, law enforcement agencies, work together here. There's a very, very good camaraderie amongst everybody. So we help each and everyone out. But those are concerns, you know, as I think the workforce gets stretched to the limit. And as you said, sometimes not a lot of quality time can be spent on investigations because the guys are just too busy running from here to there. So. Well, it's a juggling act.
You're doing a great job with the department that you have and the limitations that you're forced to work with. I thank you for your work and for the work of the rest of the people that are in the sheriff's department. And for the rest of our law enforcement here in the Keweenaw area. And I invite other people to, you know, even though it was January 9th, but you know, thank an officer or deputy when you see one for National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Definitely. We appreciate the work you do.
Well, thank you, Rick, and thanks for having us here, and we appreciate you getting the word out, and it's very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.